Okay, welcome to the Shir in Sfarno Parshas Toldos. Beginning of the Sedra, we read about the births of Esav and Yaakov. And in Perek Chofei Posek Chovov, we're told, V'acharei chen yotza achiv, after Esav came out into the world, afterwards his brother emerged from the womb, V'yodo achezes v'akev Esav, his hand was holding on to the heel of Esav, v'yikro shmo Yaakov. And he called his name Yaakov. Who's the he over here? Who called his name Yaakov? So Rashi already notes, Vayikra Shmo Yaakov HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? The subject of the sentence is the Ribbono Shel Olam. Then Rashi brings a second interpretation that in point of fact, it was Yitzchak Avinu, which is probably what we'd think naturally reading the Psukim. As Rabbi Kuperman points out in his notes on the Svarno, the first interpretation of Rashi, namely Vayikra Shmo Yaakov is the Ribbono Shel Olam, seems to fit into the Pshat in a very striking fashion. Because that Posuk goes on to say, V'Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana Beledes Osam. And Yitzchak was 60 years old when the two boys were born. So if Vayikra Shmo Yaakov, if the subject of that sentence is Yitzchak, so then, why do you have to then repeat the name V'Yitzchak ben Shishim Shana Beledes Osam? You should have said V'Hu ben Shishim Shana Beledes Osam. He was 60 years old when the boys were born. The fact that the name Yitzchak is introduced in the latter part of the pasuk seems to indicate that the subject of Vayikra Shmo Yaakov is someone else. Who's the someone else? The Ribbono Shel Olam. The Svarno clearly works with this pshat of Rashi, the first pshat in Rashi, that Vayikra Shmo Yaakov is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he offers up a fascinating pshat as to what the name Yaakov means. So, especially, even if the one who names Yaakov Avinu is Yitzchak Avinu, but especially if the one who names Yaakov Avinu is the Ribbono Shel Olam, the notion of calling Yaakov Avinu Yaakov, because what? Because he's grabbing onto the heel of Esav, seems like a very insignificant and perhaps even derogatory way of naming a child. So for the whole rest of his life, that's the thing we should think about, that when he came out of the womb, he was grabbing onto the heel of Esav. What's that got to do with anything? So says the Svarno as follows. Vayikra Shmo Yaakov, Yishoer Be'okev Uvasof. The Akev, the heel of Esav, is symbolic of being at the end of anything, in this particular case, the end of time, the end of history. The meaning of the name Yaakov, essentially, says the Svarno, is that Yaakov Avinu and Klal Yisrael, which will descend from Yaakov Avinu, will be survivors. They will survive in the end. They will survive at the heel, at the end of things, even after everything else is done. Ki zeh hora hayos yodo achezes ba'akev achiv. That was the deeper meaning of the idea that Yaakov Avinu physically was holding on to the heel of Esav. He was there at the end. Even after Esav will be predominant for much of human history, Yaakov Avinu is going to be holding on and he's going to be there at the end. Ukvar amru zichronom livracha hakel yisbarach kara lo kein. Indeed, as we just noted a moment ago, Chazal tell us, he quotes the Medrash Tanchuma, that it's the Ribbono Shel Olam who called Yaakov Avinu Yaakov, ki omnam hu yishoer achar kilyon kol ha'umos. Because Yaakov Avinu will be left alive, in other words, Klal Yisrael will be left alive even after all of the rest of the nations are done away with and disappear. Ka omro, as the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, ki es echala b'chol ha'goyim, I will cause all of the other nations to disappear. But I will never cause you, Klal Yisrael, to disappear. That calls to mind the very famous quote, Lahavdil, but the very famous quote from Mark Twain, about how all of the various nations of the world rose to prominence, the Babylonians, the Persians, etc., etc., etc. They disappeared off the face of human history. And the Jewish people, noted Mark Twain in the 1800s, are still, Baruch Hashem, still going strong. That's the meaning of the name Yaakov, says the Svarno, that they're holding on to the end. They're survivors. Even after everything happens to the rest of the world, Klal Yisrael is going to be intact even at the end of days. Later on, in Parshas Vayishlach, when Yaakov Avinu was granted the name Yisrael, so the Svarno elaborates on this idea that Yaakov Avinu's name indicates the fact that he's going to be a survivor, that he'll be left over even after other nations pass from this world. So then what's the significance of Yisrael? So says the Svarno in Parshas Vayishlach, the truth is Yisrael, kisorisa, that you have become, that you have been victorious. You've been a sar, you've been appointed to a position in which you're an official. The realization of the name Yisrael is not really something that's going to happen until Olam Haba, until Yemos HaMoshiach, until the end of time, when those other nations that are challenging Klal Yisrael are going to disappear, and you know Yaakov will be realized, but then at that point, Klal Yisrael is going to be ascendant, and the name Yisrael, which implies that ascendancy, is really going to be realized in the fullest sense of the term. Yet, says the Svarno, because there are moments in this pre-messianic period where Klal Yisrael does have little realizations of this idea of Yisrael, they have real, little glimpses of the fact that ultimately Klal Yisrael is going to be ascendant. So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Yaakov Avinu, it's appropriate for you to use the name Yisrael even before the advent of those Yemos HaMoshiach. But in doing so, the Svarno implicitly explains a question which is raised by many of the Mefarshim. When it comes to the changing of Avram Avinu's name, so Avram Avinu starts off as Avram, and he becomes Avraham, and he never looks back. The name Avram is never used again. It's not as if he switches off between Avram and Avram. In fact, the Gemara famously says, the end of the first parak of Brachos, Kol HaKorei LaAvram, Avram, over Baaseh, it's a violation of a mitzvah in the Torah to refer to Avram Avinu as Avram. His name was changed, that was it. Boom. No turning back. And yet, of course, we know that even after Yaakov Avinu is given the name Yisrael, the Torah itself continues to refer to Yaakov Avinu with both names. Sometimes Yaakov, sometimes Yisrael. So that's the Svarno explains over there in Vayishlach, that since the meaning of the name Yaakov is you're a survivor, you're going to survive everything, the truth is, the name Yaakov really is relevant to Klal Yisrael until Moshiach comes. That's really the name that characterizes it. And the fact that we're able to use the name Yisrael at all is in a sense a concession. It's a concession, a little bit of a glimpse of what's going to be Be'achris Hayamim at the end of days. But the full realization of Yisrael as Yisrael is something that's only going to really take place when Moshiach comes. Okay. So that's one idea that the Svarno brings out at the beginning of the Sedra. Reading a little bit further, we encounter the famous story where Yaakov Avinu buys the Bechora off of Esav. Now we've noted before that the Svarno is always looking to present the Avos and the Imos HaKdoshim in the best possible light. And anything in the Pasuk that maybe, possibly, could be interpreted in a negative way, he's always going to take a more positive outlook on it. In theory, one could look at the actions of Yaakov Avinu in his interactions with Esav and be very critical of Yaakov Avinu. Here Esav comes after a hard day. He's starving. He's hungry. And Yaakov, in a sense, has him over a barrel. He says, you know, you have this bechora, you have this birthright, I'd like to get this birthright from you. You want supper? Okay. So if you want supper, I'm going to demand that you sell me your bechora for the price of this supper. So first of all, one might say, Yaakov Avinu acted inappropriately. How do you take advantage of a poor, hungry guy, you know, but just because he's hungry, you know, you're going to force him to sell the bechora? And also, you sold the Bechorah, or you bought the Bechorah off of him for Nezid Hadashim, for a lentil stew? you know, you really took advantage of the guy. It seems, and you know, the truth is, you read a little bit further in the parasha, it sounds like Esav himself has such a taina. Vayakveni zeh pa'mayim. Yaakov Avinu has tricked me. He's taken advantage of me twice, first with the Bechorah, and then with the Brachos later on in the parasha. So the Svarno interprets, adds many, many elements into the interpretation of the story that I think present Yaakov Avinu, defend Yaakov Avinu against these potential tainas that one might have. So, we first start off as follows. In Perek Chofei, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, so the Svarno writes that Esav comes from the field, and he's so deluded, he's so confused, that he doesn't even recognize the Nezid Adoshim, the lentil stew, as being lentil stew. Haliteni no min ha'odom ha'odom azeh. Just take this red stuff and pour it down my throat. Why does he refer to it as ha'odom ha'odom hazeh, this red stuff? So the Svarno writes that lo hikir banozid ki'im tzivo. That Esav, he says in general, was not a very discerning person. You know, he didn't really pay attention to the finer details of things. In fact, even something as mundane as this porridge, you know, this stew, he didn't bother to look in. Oh, what are you making tonight? It looks good. It looks interesting. The red stuff. You know, spare me the details. Don't confuse me with the details. So writes the Svarno in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, where Yaakov Avinu says to Esav, Michro chayom es b'choros chali. So the question is, what's the word chayom? Right? He doesn't say Michro hayom es b'choros chali. Sell me your birthright today, but rather Michro chayom. Sell your birthright like today. What do you mean like today? What does that mean? So says the Svarno, Kibios hayom komagamas ponecha el melachtecha be'ofen sha'ato kolkach oyev she'encho makir hanozid. I see from your actions today and from your reactions today that you're so consumed with your work and with your preoccupation that you're exhausted. You're so exhausted you don't even recognize that this is a lentil stew. You just have to call it that red stuff. So kayom, based on the actions of today, I see that ein sofek shlo tuchal lehisasek b'inyanei habechora. I see, Yaakov says to Esav, that this bechora isn't really for you. Why? Because what does the bechora involve? L'shoreis hakel yisborach, as Rashi himself writes on the Chumash, what's the bechora about? It's about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My dear brother Esav, says Yaakov, I see, based on how tired and exhausted you are, that this is probably beyond you. It's something that's too difficult for you to do. Meaning, according to the Svarno, they have a frank conversation. Yaakov isn't taking Esav over the barrel and saying, well, you know, you want to have supper tonight, you'd better sell me your bechorah. No, Yaakov reasons with Esav. He says, Michro chayom es bechoras chali. My Esav, look at yourself. You're tired out. You're exhausted. You don't have the koach to serve as a bechor, to serve as a firstborn. You don't have the koach to do all of the avodas Hashem that it requires. And indeed, what's Esav's response? Vayomer Esav, hine anochi holech lomus v'loma zeli bechora. Behold, I'm going to go die. Why do I need this bechora? What does that mean? So says the Svarno very simply, Hine anochi holech lomus, I'm going to go die. Berov hatla'a v'ho'ayefus. I'm worn out, I'm exhausted. Meaning, Hine anochi holech lomus is an expression, according to the Svarno. It's something along the lines of what we'd say in English. I'm dead tired. I'm dead tired. I'm exhausted. You're right. Yaakov, you're 100% right. I need this bechorah like I need a hole in the head. So they have a meaningful conversation. So Yaakov says, okay, so you're ready to sell it to me. How should we go about the sale? So we know some Rishonim understand that the price of the Bukhara was the Nezir Adashim. That was the transaction. One Bukhara for one Nezir Adashim. However, the Svarno learns differently. He says on the Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Vayomer Yaakov, Hishova li kayom, Vayishova lo. Yaakov says to Esav, swear to me. Why does he say swear to me? Mipnei hayos hakinyon al dover she'ein bo mamish. Because the Bukhara is not a tangible object. There's a whole discussion in the Ksos, by the way, about this very issue. How can you sell something that's intangible? He's not selling any tangible object. He's not selling a something. He's selling a right. So how do you have the ability to sell a right? So says the Svarno, you're right. It's not so simple to sell something which is intangible. So therefore, the kinyon, the transaction, had to be backed up with the shvua, with an oath. So therefore, hashvua tamali chesrono, the shvua was necessary, the oath was necessary, davka, in this kind of transaction. Otherwise, why do I need an oath in a transaction? Every time I walk into the grocery store and I buy groceries, I don't have to swear to the cashier that I'm going to buy these items. Then says the Svarno, vayimkar es b'choroso b'mechir shepasku b'neyem. What was the price of the b'chora, of the birthright? So says the Svarno, we don't actually know from the psukim. He sold the b'chora for some price. They set a price. V'lo choshash hakosuv levaro. The Torah doesn't bother telling us what the price was because it's not really relevant. It's none of our business how much money he paid for the b'chora. But It wasn't trickery. It wasn't Yaakov taking advantage of Esav. Yaakov and Esav had a frank conversation as to whether Esav wanted this Bechora or not. And then he sold it for a certain amount of money. And then, the last pasuk, Lamed Dalet, V'Yaakov nosan le'Esav lechem unezir adoshim. At that point, Yaakov gave to Esav bread together with the lentil stew. What was the role of that? So, adds the Svarno, Liknos bekinyan chalipin. The role of the nozid of the stew that he was giving to him was to seal the deal with a kinyan chalipin. A kinyan chalipin, we know, is a symbolic exchange of some item in order to symbolically, formally complete a kinyan. Right. So we're most familiar with a kinyan chalipin when we make somebody an agent to sell the chametz. Or when the chassan agrees to the terms of the ksuba, the chassan, you know, the picking up of the pen, the handkerchief, whatever it happens to be, that's all a kinyan chalipin in order to show a gemiras das that the person is committed to this particular transaction which is about to take place. So the passing of the nezid adoshim from Yaakov to Esav, besides just giving him dinner, was also a way of sealing the transaction. But again, the nezid adoshim wasn't the price of the sale. It was rather the same way that when a person commits to a ksuba by his chassan's tish, he's not committing for the price of the pen. The pen is just a convenient object in order to formally seal the deal. And at that point, we're told vayivez Esav is habuchara, that Esav despised the bechara. Gam achar maisa hoisa habuchara be'enav bilti reuyal osa mechir shepasku. Says the Svarno, Esav thought that he got the better end of the deal. Let's say they made up that Yaakov Avinu bought the Bukhara for $1,000 just to throw out an arbitrary number. Esav walked away from that transaction thinking, my brother is such an idiot. He sold me the, can you believe that? I sold him nothing and he gave me $1,000. He despised the kinyan that he had entered into. If you understand that he sold the Bukhara for dinner, so again, it's hard to imagine somebody saying, oh, I got the better end of the deal. You know, that nezid adoshim was mamash delicious. You know, I mean, they put so much pepper in it these days. It's something to write home about. Hard to imagine that he would feel that way. But they, according to the Svarno, they made up a price. So if they made up a price, so Esav walked away saying, huh, you know, my brother's so naive, you know, that he was willing to buy a nothing, an abstraction, you know, for $1,000, you know, next to... If they had the Brooklyn Bridge, I'd try to sell them that also, you know, but once we're selling these things. So says the Svarno, and the Torah is telling us, it's defending Yaakov Avinu, there was no onoa, there was no price gouging over here on the part of Yaakov. Because the truth is, the price that Yaakov paid Esav was actually much more than what Esav thought the Bechara was actually worth. So the Svarno altogether is drawing this picture of, if anything, it's not that Yaakov was taking advantage of Esav. If anything, Esav felt that he had taken advantage of Yaakov by the time this transaction was over. Okay. The Torah then begins to tell us in Perek Chavav about the Ra'av, the famine, which drives Yitzchak to go to Avimelech, to the country, the land of the Plishtim. And we read in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Beis, Vayera Elav Hashem Vayomer, Al Terid Mitzrayim. Hashem appears to Yitzchak and he says to him, don't go down to Egypt. I know your father, when there was a famine in Eretz Yisrael, went down to Egypt, but you shouldn't go down to Egypt. Shechon ba'aretz asher omar lecha. Stay in this land in Eretz Yisrael. Don't leave. Rashi comments on Pasuk Beis. Shehoyu daito loredes leMitzrayim, kmo shiyad aviv b'mei arav. Yitzchak Avinu wanted to follow in the footsteps of Avram. That's what he does consistently. So Avram Avinu went down to Egypt when there was a famine. Yitzchak says, I'm also going to go down to Egypt when there's a famine. Omar lo al terid Mitzrayim. So comes HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Yitzchak and he says, no, that's a bad idea. Don't go down to Egypt. Why? Sha'ata ola tmima. You are a pure, unblemished offering. You're like a carbon. Ben chutza la'aretz kedai lach. And it's not appropriate for somebody like you to go down to chutza la'aretz. Apparently the land of the Plishtim is still considered to be Eretz Yisrael. The Gaza Strip apparently is part of Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Chumash is saying. So, the Eretz HaPlishtim is still part of Eretz Yisrael, but if you go down to Mitzrayim, so that's already considered to be Chutz La'aretz, and you're an Ola Tmima, you shouldn't go to Chutz La'aretz. This is a quote from the Tanchuma. Why is Yitzchak an Ola Tmima? Presumably, it's a reference back to the Akedah. In other words, Yitzchak Avinu was about to be sacrificed. The ram was really a substitute for Yitzchak Avinu, but on some conceptual level, as Chazal say, his ashes, as it were, are still on top of the Mizbeach. Yitzchak may not have been sacrificed literally, but poel, but on some conceptual level, he was the carbon. And a carbon is not supposed to be Yotzei Chutz. We know that a carbon is not supposed to be brought out of the Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim. So the sense in which Yitzchak Avinu is a carbon is that he's not supposed to leave Eretz Yisrael. The way Rashi from the Tanchuma understands why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is reluctant to allow Yitzchak Avinu to leave Eretz Yisrael has to do with the Akedah and the unique experiences of Yitzchak Avinu. We'll see Be'ezus Hashem, the Sfarno seems to have a different approach to understanding why the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted Yitzchak specifically to stay in Eretz Yisrael. Let's just read it a little bit, and then I don't know if we'll have time to explicate it all tonight. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit more tomorrow. But in Pasuk Gimel, he writes as follows: "V'atam she'amarti she'togur ba'aretz hazoh sevozeh eitiv l'cha." Why did I tell you, says Hashem, that you should stay in this land, and I will benefit you here? Ki kvar nishbati l'Avram loseis lo l'zaro es ha'aretz hazoh. Because I promised Avram to give him this land, ulefichach biyosecha gar ba tia nesi elokim b'socham. When you live in this land, you will be a prince of God among the people who live here. What does that mean? So Rabbi Kuperman in his notes suggests the following. We know the term nesi elokim, prince of God, is the way the Bnei Ches referred to Avraham Avinu at the beginning of Parshas Chayisara. Avraham Avinu comes to the Bnei Ches, and he says, look, I'd like to buy a kever. And they say, you're an awesome person. Nesi Elokim Ato B'Sochenu. You're a prince of God. You want it, you got it. You know, whatever you want is fine. You know. So, apparently it's very important that each of the Avos be recognized as Nesi Elokim, because that will give them, in the eyes of the population of Eretz Yisrael, credibility on their claim to Eretz Yisrael. Witness the fact that the Bnei Ches were so ready to give over a portion of Eretz Yisrael to Avraham Avinu. Why? Because Nasi Elokim Ato B'Sochenu. So Yitzchak has yet to prove that he's a Nasi Elokim. He's a godly person. But how do they know that, you know, he's quite on the level of Avraham Avinu? So says Rabbi Kuperman, that's what the Sfarno was driving at over here. Yitzchak Avinu sticks around in the land of the Plishtim. And it says later on, Vayizra Yitzchak Ba'aretz Ahi Vayivarcheu Hashem Me'al She'arim. Yitzchak Avinu had an unnatural degree of Hatzlacha when he was planting and cultivating the land. The people were amazed. And we see later on in the Sedra that Avimelech comes to Yitzchak and he says that Ra'o Ro'inu Ki Hoya Elokim Imach Ki Hoya Hashem Imach Perek Chavav Pasuk Chavches. Right? We see that Hashem is with you. And then they add Pasuk Chavches Ato Baruch Hashem. You are now the one blessed by Hashem. What do you mean, you are now the one blessed by Hashem? So Rabbi Kuperman explains within the Sfarno that this is what they mean. Up until now we thought, okay, Avraham Avinu was a great man, you passed away, you're a nice person, that's it. But now we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings about Yeshuos through you. You plant and you get this incredible return on your planting. Wow, you must be special. You must be also a Nasi Elokim. Ato Baruch Hashem. Now we see that you're also blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you have that stature, so that will now enable you to take possession of Eretz Yisrael. We see that you're worthy of that. In other words, had Yitzchak gone down to Mitzrayim, all of those events never would have transpired, and Yitzchak's claim on Eretz Yisrael by being a Nasi Elokim would have been compromised, and it would have been compromised the entire Jewish people's claim to Eretz Yisrael. We'll expand on this a little bit more tomorrow. Be'ezus Hashem, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer Ratzah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lezakus is Yisrael, Lefikach.